So today we celebrate the feast of the second Sunday after Pentecost. We celebrate the feast of Corpus Christi, the body of Christ, the feast of the Blessed Sacrament, established back in the reign of Pope Innocent III. Yeah, Pope Innocent III asked one man to compile the prayers for the Mass today. This would have been around after the death of St. Innocent III, it was later, after the Council of Lyon, so not during Innocent III's time. But he asked a man to write the Mass for today, and it was St. Thomas Aquinas. St. Thomas Aquinas, the greatest of the teachers and doctors of the Church, was the one who assembled the prayers of the Mass today. And so for this feast of Corpus Christi, 800 years ago. The epistle for the solemnity of the Feast of Corpus Christi, taken from St. Paul's letter to the 1 Corinthians, chapter 11. For I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread, and giving thanks, broke and said, Take ye and eat, this is my body, which shall be delivered for you. This do for the commemoration of me. In like manner also the chalice after he had supped, saying, This chalice is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as often as you shall drink for the commemoration of me. For as often as you shall eat this bread and drink this chalice, you shall show the death of the Lord until he come. Therefore, whosoever shall eat this bread or drink this chalice of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and of the blood of the Lord. But let a man prove himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of the chalice. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily eateth and drinketh judgment unto himself, not discerning the body of the Lord. And then the gospel. The sake of that, according to St. John chapter 6. At that time, Jesus said to the multitude of the Jews, My flesh is meat indeed, and my blood is drink indeed. He that eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood abideth in me, and I in him. As the living Father hath sent me, and I live by the Father, so he that eateth me, the same also shall live by me. This is the bread that came down from heaven, not as your fathers did eat manna and are dead. He that eateth this bread shall live forever. Thus far the words of today's Holy Gospel. So a few considerations today in this feast of solemnity, the feast of Corpus Christi, which in the universal church is a holy day of obligation. It is not a holy day of obligation. It is not practiced in our country, this particular holy day, but it is a holy day of obligation in the universal church, the feast of Corpus Christi, the feast of the body of our Lord Jesus Christ. We see in the Mass today, in the formulary of the Mass, the heart of St. Thomas Aquinas, who is the one who assembled together the prayers of today. And it is interesting the first words that he puts into each of the prayers of the Mass. First of all, Chibavit. He has eaten. He has eaten of the fat of the grain. He has eaten, taken from the Old Testament. The greatest part of the grain was called the fat of the grain. He has eaten of the fat of the grain. He has eaten the greatest of all foods. It was a prophecy of the Old Testament concerning the Blessed Sacrament. Chibavit. He has eaten. And we travel through a theological progression in each of the words of the Mass. First of all, he has eaten. Chibavit. And then, in the gradual Oculi Omnium, the eyes of all shall hope in thee. We have eaten, and we have been given eyes. First we have eaten, then we have received eyes. And then in the Alleluia, what have we seen? Caro mea. We have seen my flesh. We have actually seen the flesh of God Himself. We have eaten. We have seen. And it is the flesh of God. And then now what? The next first word of St. Thomas Aquinas in the hymn, one of the most beautiful hymns written in our church, the Laudation. Also the one that all choirs hate because it's one of the most difficult to sing. Laudation. Praise. We have eaten. We have seen. It is the flesh of the Lord. What are we to do? Praise. And then the next word put in by St. Thomas Aquinas in the offertory, sacerdotes, the priests. What of the priests? The priests of the Lord incense and offer bread to God. And so we go to the priests. And then the next word of St. Thomas, as often as you shall eat these things, or the ecclesia, graciously bestow upon thy church, but in the Latin, ecclesia is the first word of the church. First of all, a man is eaten, and then he sees. What he sees is the flesh of God. And then it just comes from his heart to praise God, having seen the flesh of God. We human beings have bodies. Though the greatest thing we can do is to contemplate with our minds, we don't really believe that. We believe the greatest thing we can do is to see with our eyes and taste with our lips and touch with our hands. That's what we believe. So God has lowered Himself to our foolish beliefs. And He has made Himself flesh and meat indeed. And when we have tasted it, we receive a new kind of life. And therefore we praise Him. Then we come to understand the most important man that God gave to the world. Sacerdos. The one that makes things sacred. The one that brings God from heaven and places Him on the altar. And brings Him from the altar to souls. And how can there be a sacerdos unless there is something greater than Him, which is the ecclesia, the church. And then we return where we have begun with the communion antiphon. Quotius cumque manducabitis, as often as you shall eat these things. We began with eating. We end with eating often. And so St. Thomas begins with the chewing of food. He ends with consuming that food for all eternity. And we see in a small way that through the eyes of St. Thomas Aquinas, Jesus Christ in the Blessed Sacrament is all. There is nothing of any value that came not from Him. There is no purpose in anything that is directed not to Him. There is no joy without Him. Man was made to praise. But it is a very vague thing to praise God. God is distant to us. He is infinitely large and we are infinitely small. He is infinitely power and we are powerful and we are infinitely weak. He is a spirit and we have bodies. And so He is far from us. He cannot stand to be far from men. And this is one of the absurdities of the divinity. How can God, who is completely sufficient inside of Himself, desire to be with men? It is absurd, but He desires to be with us. And his divine heart is not satisfied, even though he is infinitely happy, unless he is with us. And he has revealed this to us in sacred scripture as we quote many times, "My delight is to be amongst the sons of men." And St. Paul tells us the night that he came in the epistle. The night that he came to be with us, to become our meat. The night that he made it possible for every man to touch him and every man in the world to see his flesh. It was the night that he was betrayed. Now, nothing happens by accident. God could have chosen any night or any day. He did not choose the day, he chose the night. He did not choose a good day, he chose the day of his betrayal. He chose the day when his first pope would deny him three times. When his most trusted apostle would betray him in the hands of the Jews. When the others would flee as coward and one ran away naked. This was the night that he chose to give to us the greatest of gifts. What are we to do when we see this gift? All we can do is adore and give thanks. How can it be that there was a king who came to this earth? There was a God who became man. And he made a requirement of all who wish to follow him. If you want to be with me, we remember the words, "Take up your cross and follow me." When we meditate more deeply upon them, we see that it is not much of a cross that we must take up. He only said that in one phrase, "Take up your cross and follow me." But when he spoke of his own flesh and his own blood, "Unless you eat my flesh, unless you drink my blood, you shall not have life in you." There is no life without his flesh and without his blood. God's flesh and God's blood. How can God have flesh and how can God have blood? We do not know. We adore and give thanks. And what was his requirement? There is the foolish way of looking at the requirement of Jesus Christ. And this foolish way is, his requirement is that we embrace a cross. But rather, his requirement was that we come to a banquet. How can anyone not follow this king? If you want to be my disciple, you have to show up at all the parties. You can't miss a one. You must receive the greatest of all foods. You must never eat that which is not great. You must always be in the presence of the king, and not in the presence of his courtiers or someone lower. You must commune directly with the king. And then he will reward you with heaven. Who could say no to such a request of such a king? And yet we do. Because we are afraid of the banquet of the Lord. We are afraid of the words of St. Paul when he said, the night of the greatest gift of the Blessed Sacrament was the night of his betrayal. The night that he was handed over to the Jews and was crucified. We are afraid to approach the banquet for fear of being crucified. And yet we do not understand that it is the Holy Eucharist which bonds us to the cross. It is the Holy Eucharist which transforms the cross into the resurrection. It is the Holy Eucharist that removes all shadows from the earth. As St. Thomas says in the Laudation, it is this bread that takes away all shadow. It is this bread that gives all illumination and light. We lived in darkness before he gave us his flesh and his blood. We did not understand. But now it is possible for us to understand. Because we have consumed the flesh and the blood of the Lord. And there are many truths concerning this flesh and this blood. It never changes. But we change. You know, God can never change. He is as He is always. There is no change or shadow of alteration inside of Him. And yet when God gives us His flesh, there is a change that we call transubstantiation. The change is for us. God takes on the flesh. He takes His flesh and His blood and His soul and His divinity and He puts it inside of the host so that we may be changed. And we are changed by the Blessed Sacrament, as St. Thomas points out in the Laodicean as well. He does not change when He comes inside of us, but we change. If we receive Him unworthily, we receive Him unto judgment. And we receive coals of fire upon our own head. If we receive Him worthily, we become transformed into Him. As it says in the Psalms, Gustati et videte quoniam suavis est Dominus. Taste and see how sweet the Lord is. He changes us into Himself. This food does not change God into man. Transforms man closer to God. Or if he is his enemy, it repels him further away. The Holy Eucharist does not come without the cross. He becomes present in the Mass by the separation of the sacramental separation, says St. Thomas Aquinas. He becomes present in the Mass by the sacramental separation of the consecration of the body, followed by the consecration of the blood. We say the sacramental separation because the body and the blood and the soul and the divinity is entirely in the host. And it is entirely in the chalice. And there is no difference between Jesus Christ in the chalice and Jesus Christ in the host. It is only a sacramental separation. One that signifies the crucifixion. And one thing about this Blessed Sacrament, it is a cause of separation. It is a sword that attacks the soul. And if we are the enemy of God, we will become further separated from Him. If we are the friend of God, we will become further separated from the world. But it is a sword of separation. And a sort of union. There is no truth in our faith that cannot be related to Jesus Christ in the Blessed Sacrament. If we ever want to understand problems, then we need to go in front of the tabernacle. If we want to have solutions, if we have any hope, it is only going to be found in front of the tabernacle, the answers. Oculi sperant, says St. Thomas, the eyes hope. How do the eyes hope? You will have four opportunities to let your eyes hope this morning. When you see the host rise up into the air and the chalice rise up into the air, you will see with your eyes the only thing that gives us hope. Hope is related to our eyes in a special way. The Indians are attacking us, and we are surrounded in a little wagon train. And you see in the horizon the cavalry coming. Cavalry come to save the day. We look for hope. The men of Bethulia on top the walls each day during the 2 years of their siege, before Judith saved them, they looked out on the horizon. When is the assistance coming? And it did not come, and so they despaired. And then Judith had to save them. We look for hope. We need our eyes. And because we are easily inclined to despair and easily inclined to discouragement, our Lord Jesus Christ has put before our eyes something to give us hope. And that is a host and a chalice. 4 times you will see it today. First of all, when he is lifted up at the consecration. And then again, at each of the 3 benedictions, you will see the host. In the host, you will see the cross. In the cross, you will see the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost. As we said a couple of weeks ago, remember that the crucifix is the window. Well, I guess it was last week. The crucifix is the window. The window by which we see the Blessed Trinity. It is through the cross that we see the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost. And without the cross, we could not see within sight of God. It was the condition of God. How did He open Himself up so that He could be seen by us? The mystery of the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost. By cutting apart His own Son. Cutting a hole inside of the divinity so that we could enter in. And we will see the crucifix and the Trinity and the Blessed Sacrament and the Blessed Virgin Mary and the Ecclesia, the mystical body of Christ, and all the doctrines of the Old and New Testament, and all the shadows will be taken away from our eyes because we have seen hope. You want to know truth? Then examine Jesus Christ in the tabernacle. You want to have hope? Stay close to that tabernacle. It is the centerpiece of all religious orders, the centerpiece of the priesthood. We have here a few young men on a vocation retreat. If they are going to live good lives, and if God calls them to the religious life or to the priesthood, it will be a waste of time for them if they do not center their life on Jesus Christ and the Blessed Sacrament. He is our centerpiece, and we need never forget that. I don't mean to ramble on so long, it's become a tradition in recent months or... But nonetheless, let us get closer to the center of our faith. And that center is Jesus Christ and the Blessed Sacrament. He will teach us about the Father and the Holy Ghost. He will teach us about His Mother. He will teach us all the things that we need to know. He will teach us the glory and the beauty of the cross, the way to eternal resurrection. Peace, happiness, not only in heaven, but in this life. As we mentioned a couple of weeks ago in the Holy Communion sermon, our Lord Jesus Christ said, "Eye has not seen, ear has not heard, neither has it entered into the heart of man what God has prepared for those who love Him. But in this He has lied." He said, "I will not give you a taste of heaven until you get there." But He is like unto the mother, as we mentioned a few weeks ago. He is like unto the mother that says, "You cannot have any ice cream, you cannot have any cake until you have done your work. Can I have just a little piece, Mom? Okay, one piece, but never another one. Can I have another one? Yep, but don't ask again. Can I have another one? Don't ask again. This is the last time." And this is the way Jesus Christ is. You must wait until you get to heaven. Can we have a little taste? Okay, but just today. Don't ever ask again. Okay, just another one. Just today. He gives us a taste of heaven. He should not, but he does. He makes solemn decrees, and then he cheats upon his own decrees. Such is the way of the divine love. We must come to a better understanding of that divine love. We must get closer to that divine love. And this is the place. And there is no other place except the feet of his mother. And so no matter how far we find ourselves immersed in sin, no matter how far we find ourselves away from God, the way, quickest way back, confession and Holy Communion, these inseparable and great sacraments, we must have them frequently. Each time is a small taste of heaven. And he will open our eyes to begin to see so many truths. There are so many beautiful things that he wants us to see, but we have to pass through the window of the cross to see what is on the other side. We have to go through the Holy Eucharist. We have to go through the confessional. And when we travel through these things, we will find a land of peace and a land of joy, not only in heaven, but as he promised in the Sermon on the Mount, 100-fold here below, followed by eternal heaven, 100-fold in happiness, which is what we're really after. We're not after money and power and pleasure. We're after happiness. We're after permanent interior peace. We're after the possession of all things. And he will give us what we desire. If we only stay close to him. And so I'll finally close it at that there, except to say that you must pray for priests. We need priests. We need religious. We need more men to carry Jesus Christ into the world. Men who are sinners and weak and foolish, but can be used as an instrument of God to bring souls to him. This is what we need. Pray to the Lord of the harvest that he send laborers into the harvest. The harvest is wonderful. The harvest is great indeed. The problem is the lack of laborers and the lack of those that are praying for the laborers. So heed the warning of Jesus Christ. Pray for the laborers, that there may be laborers in the harvest, that these laborers may be faithful, that they may not pollute the altar of God, says St. Thomas Aquinas. In the Mass today, they incense and they do not pollute. These are the priests that we want. And then I was going to say that was the last consideration, but a couple words of the Vocation Petridens. In the incensation at the Mass at the offertory, as the priest is incensing the altar, he recites Psalm, I believe it's Psalm 90, no, 94 is the one in the morning for Matins, but one of the Psalms. Not 94. And one of the words of it is, non excusationes, excusationibus in peccatis. As we incense the altar of the Lord, we say, may I, as is me the priest, may I not make excuses of excuses in sins. There's excuses, then there's excuses for excuses. May I not make excuses for excuses and sins. We need to admit that we are sinners. Then we can burn incense before the Lord worthily. It is the condition of sanctity. It is a condition of peace. It is a condition of being an apostle of Jesus Christ. And we are all meant to become apostles in our own ways because of the sacrament of confirmation. Let us not make excuses and sins. And it is the sight of Jesus Christ in the Blessed Sacrament and his purity and his excellence that reminds us to not make these excuses and sins. So let's not develop that habit, as we all do. And let's try to overcome it, even though we have it. And in this way, we'll become closer to Jesus Christ in the Blessed Sacrament. And we'll actually close it at that this time. And so God bless you all. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen.